went to buy the Thor hammer to hit myself in the head with for this, but it's hollow.
That's damn kind of safety regulations.
You think it could have at least been foam.
Is it the Nerf one?
No, it's just completely hollow. It's like rubber.
And the Nerf one's only about a foot long, apparently.
Well, if the Nerf one's anything like those wet swords they sell, then it's going to hurt like shit when you hit someone with it.
That's what she said.
I suppose you could always just, you know, kitbash a longer handle onto the Nerf one. Right?
Yeah.
Get a cheap broom and cut the stick off of it.
Or you could just buy a hammer.
Now, who does that anymore?
You can't get a hammer that big for $10.
You can get your mom for a nickel.
Before it's she dies.
You stick a broomstick in your mom, you're never going to be able to swing her around.
You'll never find the broom again either.
But when she squats, she could sweep.
She can do that without the broom.
Superhero time with your hosts, XV.
We're like an 80s cartoon where we each have our own speech quirk so you can tell us apart.
Hey, Mickey.
I need more ham.
Paladin.
Germans with soda phones.
And Fort Max.
The Scooby-Dooby Door segment.
Okay, you're listening to Superhero Time. I'm XV, with nothing clever to say. Joining me this week, I have Paladin.
Yo.
Fort Max.
Ho.
Hey, Mickey.
Hey.
And, yes, and, Barricade 64, our special guest this week.
Henshin.
Oh, you could do better than that.
No, he can't. He's here.
Also, if you ask Fort Max, it's actually Hessian.
He already said double the syllables of the rest of us, so he's doing okay.
He did? I'm not even listening, so I couldn't tell you what's going on. Just today, right, the photo of the new O's form for the anniversary movie showed up, right?
Yes, they are actually making Kamen Rider Den-O's.
After
also
fashion,
known as Tamashi Taka Momotaro's, and I'm assuming Shocker.
Yeah, Shocker's the third one.
Well, I think the middle one's just generically Imogen, but it looks like Momo, kind of.
The legs are clearly a repaint of the Doru legs.
Well, that's kind of a shame, but I guess you can't expect them to make a whole new suit. It's kind of weird looking, though.
I do kind of like the shoulder pads.
It's got to be heck going through a door with those things, though.
I wonder if we'll see that in the movie.
What, going through a door?
Yes.
Being O's, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, for a regular show, Den-O's. I would say no.
Being Den-O's, I'd be even more surprised if it didn't happen.
I mean, AG tried to blow frosting off a core metal with his mask on.
And he tried to sit on the vending machine to transform it, too. So
yeah.
It sounds like something he'd do again.
Sounds like something the writers would give us just for fun. And then in relation to the movie, there's also the new Den-O sword form for Momotaros, which honestly looks like a coat rack. And I've never known a coat rack to make a good sword.
Maybe they blew too much of the budget on the O's crossover.
So, wait, why does he become a sword?
Okay. Den-O, the regular Den-O, gets possessed by Imogen and it changes his forms. When new Den-O uses one of the Imogen turns into a weapon form instead. So in the movie trilogy last summer, two of the regular Imogen got weapon forms for that purpose, but this is the first time Momotaros got one.
I'm pretty sure they also made an accessory of Ryutaros as the gun for the new Den-O figure art, though.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Well, that never made it into the movie yet, so.
Keyword, yet.
Right. Yes, there's still plenty of movies in the future, I'm sure.
Den-O, the never-ending climax.
From pretty start much. To finish.
Yeah. No matter how long it takes.
It never ends.
Just like your mom's waist.
What kind of waste are you talking about?
W-A-I-S-T.
Okay, but not W-A-S-T-E.
Well, that too.
Not yet, anyway.
Really, both interpretations are correct.
Yeah, I guess so.
And funny. But, you know, the never-ending waste, W-A-I-S-T, is a more amusing mental image than W-A-S-T-E.
They'll both scar you for life.
See, what's the second area, the W-A-S-T-E? I'm imagining, like, your mom's butt over a conveyor belt, endlessly pooping out turds to that factory music from the 40s.
Isn't that how we got Ghost Egger?
Yeah, they just pressed the turds into discs.
No, that was Shane Kanger with the discs.
Oh, they pressed on the cards then.
Yeah. And headers.
I'm really looking forward to Saban adapting that.
It's going to be birds.
Just like Jetman. Okay, I guess it's not exactly the same, but whatever.
No.
Other stuff.
Well, there are subs out for the first 5 episodes of Kamen Rider.
Which one?
The first one.
The one that's not Sky Rider.
Kamen Rider the first? We've had subs for that for a while.
You mean Masked Rider Warrior Leader?
At your service.
Fort Max fails.
Hey, there are already subs out for all of Amazon.
All of what?
Fort Max fails.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
More unsurprisingly.
Barricade, you mentioned before we started about Figure Art Zero.
Taboo.
Yeah. That too. Yeah.
Just scroll down to take a look.
Let's see.
You, GFW. Site.
Too many SIGs. Oh, here we go. Oh, she looks nice.
Yeah, they definitely airbrushed a stand out of that one. You know, that's really alarming looking, too.
In what way?
I couldn't even tell you. It just is.
Didn't they make a weather figure arts?
Yeah, they did.
So Tamashii exclusive.
Well, of course it was a Tamashii exclusive. It was a DuPont.
But we could, like, have it grow for boobs?
Well, no, you'd need...
No, you can't.
You'd need figure arts Dr. Isaka to do that.
Oh, that's right.
They haven't gotten that far yet.
No. And plus, on you couldn't even do it with the weather DuPont.
Because you can't get one?
Right.
Yeah. But no, if they start doing figure arts human characters from Rider series, they need to start with Ryubei.
No, they should start with Kogami, and he should have, like, removable suits.
There should also be a Maki.
With the creepy little doll.
No, they are making the doll now.
Yeah. Actually, I think the doll is an existing product.
Well, several existing products.
Well, yeah. Little doll body in the suit.
Then the creepy head from somewhere else.
Yeah, I still haven't tracked that one down yet.
I can see it now. Somewhere down the line, they'll release Figure Arts doll with accessory Dr. Maki.
Dr. Maki at the bottom of the package?
Yes.
Every damn week with that joke, Fort Max. That's more worn out than your mom.
Costs about the same, though.
It's worth about as much. Okay, so what else came up this week?
Well, we had a rather distressing report about Figure Arts Shinken Red.
Okay, well, tell us about that.
Apparently, it's the part of Figure Arts Shinken Red is portrayed by Super Link Kicker Toys.
Paladin, why don't you tell us about that so we can actually tell what's going on?
Well, several people who got one reported that the joints are super tight, and apparently one of them just snapped when the owner tried to pose it.
Oops. So you haven't gotten one of these yet, have you?
No, and I'm kind of thankful I didn't now.
Well, I assume you're not generally so ham-fisted with your toys.
It varies.
Oh.
And if this had happened to Genta, we could just call it gold plastic syndrome, but it happened to Red first.
As long as it doesn't affect any of the D-Arts, I'm fine.
Well, there's only been one of those so far, so we can't really tell how it'll affect them.
Yeah, and I think Ken's War Greymon actually did break, or came broken. So.
Your mom comes broken.
She died.
Vice versa.
Wait, what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, based on how super popular Shinkendra is, I'm guessing there'll be a Figure Arts reissue later on that may address or fix the issue somehow.
Probably not.
I can hope, though.
Although I would imagine there would be like a Tamashii exclusive Super Shinken Red.
Eventually.
And maybe even a Hyper Shinken Red. And then the black turtleneck Shinken Red from the crossover movie.
Maybe they'll do a Mega Ranger Shinken Red.
No, probably not. But it'd be funny if they do another Shinkanger direct to video if they use one of the Mega Ranger costumes for it.
Or the Battleizer.
Well, the Battleizer doesn't exist yet, so.
Emphasis yet.
Well, it's usually yet. I mean, there was a few years where we didn't get one at all. Like last year.
Well, that doesn't count.
No, but that makes it funnier, doesn't it?
Well, Power Up Green Ranger is pretty Battleizer-y.
But there wasn't one in the show.
You should probably be thankful for that.
It would have been funny if they did.
Yeah.
Maybe done all in bad CGI or something.
No, like shot in New Zealand wasn't in high def.
And widescreen.
Yeah.
So did anything else actually happen this week, or was it just kind of slow?
It was pretty slow.
I got a small piece of news. I went to my Toys R Us, and out with the Samurai figures was a Wild Force roleplay toy.
Which one?
What?
It wasn't Wild Force. It was Jungle Fury, and it was like this foam staff. It was $3.
Well, that's not nearly as funny as a Wild Force toy.
Well, that is news. They actually put them on clearance or something, it sounds like.
Yes, it was on clearance.
Now that is news.
No, they got all kinds of
Toys R Us. They've got Samurai stuff, buy one, get one half off this week.
Hmm.
Which is convenient since I've already bought everything from that line that I want.
Yeah, really.
Of course.
Well, get a couple extra swords. You can never have too many swords.
No, actually, I already do have too many swords. I run out of places to put them.
Then put the swords on your swords.
Well, I'm sure you could probably go, like, find some place to stick them.
Well, right now I've got them hanging on strings in the wall and it looks terrible, so.
Just take a few to work and find something to stick them in.
Them in your mom.
Nobody will know the difference.
That'll cost you a nickel, though.
That's true.
And you'll never get him back.
It's a girl nickel. I named it Philip.
What?
It's a girl nickel. I named it Philip.
Well, we heard you the first time. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, someone's going to get that reference, though.
Apparently not us.
Well,
that's almost as bad as Fort Max making jokes.
No, so, but at least it sounded funny. I just couldn't tell what it was talking about.
Yeah.
I could tell it was a joke.
It just wasn't a funny joke.
Which is why it's here.
Yeah, generally.
Well, I'm glad I'm able to meet the standards of this show.
It's not hard. Yeah,
standards?
How did I know you were going to say that?
Because he said it before. They're not new jokes, they're just jokes.
You must be this uninteresting to record this podcast.
I'll go along with that. So, should we move on to the shows?
What should we start with?
What should we start with?
Let's start with Kabuto.
No, that comes later.
Oh. Well, don't ask me then.
What made you think I was asking you? Maybe I was asking, shit.
Yeah, see?
Samurai it is, then.
Okay.
Forever.
Rangers together.
Yeah, whatever.
Samurai forever.
So, what episode of Shinkanger was this?
Five.
Well, it was a... Red had a hard day's night trying to get his Beatles on.
I see what you did there.
So did we finally get a Red Focus episode?
And he's just as uninteresting as ever.
So even with a Focus episode, he still has no character?
Well, let's put it this way. I couldn't tell they were focusing on him, so... It's just kind of...
One that I will say Samurai does really well is night shots.
Yeah, the acting may be terrible, but the choreography and action are pretty good.
There's never nighttime in Sentai.
Well, there is, but nothing usually happens at night. Usually nighttime stuff is reserved for, like, you know, movies.
Or older Kamen Rider shows in which you can't make out what the heck's going on because everything's black.
Yay, contrast. So, yeah, stuff happened.
And they changed some stuff, but some of the changes were kind of expected. Like, they changed the bullets to lasers again.
Mm-hmm. Which makes more sense, really, when you think about it, because that monster's gun didn't actually have a barrel.
How the hell did the Moogers get giant?
They kind of just spring up that way.
They did that all the time in Shinkenger, too.
Yeah.
So expect more of that, then.
Yeah, pretty much. Sometimes these big, weird plant things spring up out of the ground, too.
Those are called trees.
Oh. Okay.
But, of course, the real star of this episode was the big, bad Beetlezord.
I thought it was the panda.
Oh, did he wrestle a panda like in Geki Ranger?
No,
they recycled the footage from Geki Ranger.
Spike won a panda that he decided to name Sam.
Short for Samurai.
That's logical.
And Bulk to use as their mascot.
Well, big, slow moving, eats a lot. I mean, it makes sense, right?
Never gets laid.
Well, you never know. Skull could be off somewhere with Bulk's kid. Maybe they just traded.
Well, that's a terrifying thought.
Of course, Bulk's kid would be bossing over Skull.
It's looking more likely that Paul Schreier actually did go to New Zealand.
Well, it's vaguely possible.
I hope it is, though.
We'll need to see more episodes to see if there's better examples of frame and frame.
Like, maybe in the actual first episodes?
Or second episodes?
Yeah, that
what are you talking about? Those don't exist.
They might exist later, but probably not.
Although, Saban's Twitter, the official Power Rangers Twitter account is being very, putting a lot of obvious things that are meant to be taken as hints, such as constantly spelling revealed with a zero after the L.
That doesn't make any sense.
Neither does Ford Max.
Neither does the Power Rangers Twitter account.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because he's Fort Max. Probably when we will find out.
Though I do like a lot of some of the writing during the battles is actually pretty decent. And I do like the, okay, Moogers on three. One, two, then Moogers get blown up.
Right.
I still think Moogers is a terrible name.
Oh, it is. Well, once they get around to adapting episode 14, we will probably have a better idea by then if Bulk and Spike are actually in New Zealand.
Why episode 14?
Well, that's the episode of Shinkenger with the white guy samurai.
Shinken Brown?
Yes.
Exactly.
Shinken Beige.
No, he's Shinken Brown because his name is Richard Brown. And it sounds as bad as it sounds. What? I just keep hoping for Samurai to start going its own way, but it's not happening so far.
Well, they're going to start skipping episodes eventually, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know. We heard this season's going to be around 40 episodes.
Supposed to be
50?
So, you know, they could compress some two-part episodes.
Yeah, usually they would... they've been doing it that since 93, is that they would compress two-part stories into one episode.
So, I mean, technically they don't really have to skip any complete episodes, but much as you might want them to.
Well, we'll find out eventually, I guess.
Yeah.
Supposedly they want to keep Samurai around for at least 2 years.
So,
no,
two seasons of 20 episodes, maybe?
That's 2 seasons, which they did even back in the Fox Kids days. You'd have the spring season and fall season.
I remember reading somewhere that it said they wanted to keep it around for at least 2 years.
But it didn't say how many episodes they'd do in those 2 years.
And also, who was saying that? Who was saying the 2 years?
Oh, that's who.
I think the stores are going to get bored with Samurai stuff after the first year.
And plus,
more important
with the
than that,
line,
the kids are
going to
get bored of it.
Kind of yeah. the tail end of the stuff. That's the later Zords and stuff, so there wouldn't be much else.
Maybe they can do like a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 2 and just, you know, splice together unrelated footage. You know, keep the Samurai costumes and start using the Ghost Age Zords.
Yes.
I can see that happening, and it means we may get to Gokaiger over here quicker.
No, it would still take the same amount of time.
No, but then we'd also have to have Gokaiger still using the Samurai suits.
Well, no, I mean, Power Rangers eventually
and then have,
switch
then,
to Zeo.
Then have the Gokaiger suits actually show up for a 10-episode miniseries.
Okay, we get it.
So that was Samurai.
Forever.
Sure seems that way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But there's better stuff to watch.
Such as?
I don't know, it should be like Pirate Sentai Time or, O's.
They're both fine choices.
Let's go with the pirates.
Okay.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
And first of all, I think we know who really is pulling the strings now. The parrot.
Well, that's kind of a leap.
That parrot needs to die in a fire.
The parrot's awesome and you know it.
Something that the others don't.
No, I don't think the parrot actually knows anything.
He's an adorable robot parrot.
Pretty sure the parrot just keeps hitting its head on that beam and starts spouting out stuff at random.
That's what he wants you to think.
Maybe he's a reincarnated Gosei angel then.
As note in the flashback, the parrot does not show up until after Red shows up.
Sometimes a moron is just a moron, and there's nothing else going on behind the scenes.
Just like Gosager.
And this show.
And since when has a mascot character ever been important to anything?
Well, in Dekaranger, it turned into a big gun.
But was it secretly Doggy Kruger's boss?
I don't know, but I've only seen the one episode of Dekaranger.
Okay.
So, no.
Okay, so, what happened in this episode of Gokaiger?
Well, the parrot told them that someone in black would have the answer to the location of the treasure.
And so they go down to the surface and are instantly surrounded by bunches of people wearing black and nearly mowed down by a squad of them running by, so...
I didn't know Japan had Secret Service agents.
Well, that's why they're secret.
Oh.
They're working on the Evangelion project.
The nuns also seemed a little out of place.
Oh, Japan has a very high Catholic concentration. You didn't know that?
They still seem out of place, though.
Yeah, the next pope's going to be Japanese.
I mean, you don't really see a lot of nuns in other, like, Sentai or anything.
Thankfully. Mm.
So then kid on bike rides up to him.
And says he knows where the treasure of this world is.
I think he's lying.
Gee, what gets you off?
Well, he's a Japanese kid. Aren't they all liars?
Also, they seem to have a lot more... Well, granted, Japanese kids also seem to have access to everything.
Well, you know, it's Japan.
Exactly.
But see, this kid's actually kind of awesome for a few minutes because he actually manages to pick Captain Marvel's pocket. He steals
and gets away without Captain Marvelous knowing that he actually did get it picked.
Not so marvelous are you now, Captain.
I know. Good job from the kid.
And then, of course, Green gets run over twice.
After getting elbowed once.
Yeah.
And later he gets backhanded.
I think we basically just need to try to keep a keep track of how many times he gets abused by the rest of his team.
Kind of the same way we do with you, Fort Max.
We do that with everyone, don't we?
No, just you.
We're all doing the podcast, aren't we?
Yeah, but the point is how often we all abuse you.
Not
really, it works. Okay, so the kid's grandfather died in the Big Ranger War.
The Legendary War, yes.
Yeah.
And Marvelous gets a flashback to when he got the Ranger keys.
And he got them from?
Akka Red.
Akka Red.
Red Red.
Who is Akka Red?
Akka Red is the spiritual embodiment of all Red Rangers.
That was okay. In the Bokinger team-up episode.
Versus Super Sentai.
Okay.
You'll get to see all about that next time.
So is he a real ranger, or is he just kind of a made-up ranger?
Little
well,
of
I
both.
Mean, he doesn't have, like, a team. You know, he's just the... he's all Red Rangers, basically. He didn't exist before the Bokinger versus Super Sentai team-up.
Okay.
And he didn't exist again until now.
Yeah, pretty much. But if he's going to show up again, this is pretty much the right time for it. And somehow he had collected all of the Ranger powers that were lost in the Legend War.
Here's what he looks like.
And he put them in a box.
And he decides to entrust them to Marvelous to find the greatest treasure in the universe.
Of course he does.
Yeah. I wonder if Marvelous was called Marvelous before he had that nice coat.
I don't know. Akka Red didn't exactly call him by name, did he?
No. And the parrot thing seemed to be hanging out with Akka Red, too. Maybe the Gokai Galleon belonged to Akka Red, even, because Akka Red was carrying a Gokai saber.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Maybe they'll reveal more of this as the series goes on. A little backstory might be nice.
Eventually, but for now we can enjoy the spectacle.
Kind of like the Flash's 2 Begins Night during Double. Where it's just like, okay, what the hell is going on here? And if Mickey was saying anything, we could tell more clearly that he's buzzing right now.
Am I?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll go away.
Eventually, yeah.
Of course, if it's anything like Double, the backstory will be revealed in a movie that we won't get to see for another 5 months afterwards.
Probably. So the kid wants to be able to turn into a ranger so he can fight and protect Earth from the Zangek.
So he makes a deal with Marvelous.
So Marvelous says, okay, if you can defeat these monsters that have just conveniently showed up, I'll give you the keys.
Well, key. The Shinkanger key.
Won't do him much good without a Mobirit, though.
Well, hey, have one of those, too.
Believe
I just don't think he's going to keep the Mobirit. I just don't think Marvelous would let him keep the Mobirit.
You never know. Of course,
I believe
he
Marvelous was banking on the fact that the kid would lose.
Yeah, that's pretty much my take on it, too.
Yes.
But
Marvelous
in the meantime,
is a pirate anyway. He probably would have backstabbed the kid.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we got a diminutive Shinken Red out of it.
Who then nearly plows through all the mooks and then gets his ass handed to him by the monster.
Well, that's why
what were
dump
we calling those
are...
foot soldiers again?
Dump troops.
There we go.
That's why dump troops are dump troops and they have a force commander.
Not a dance commander, though.
Surprisingly yes. Like Vilgax from Ben 10.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one who was thinking that. Being that Ben 10's a Bandai property, I wonder if that was by accident.
Well, Bandai of America handles Ben 10. I don't think Bandai of Japan does anything.
No, but they'd have access to the design materials.
True.
So other stuff happens.
And there's more Ranger transformations.
Well, there's always going to be more Ranger transformations.
The entire team turns into Red Rangers, which is pretty cool since it means you are not limited to your color.
Yeah, I think if or they gender. Transform as a team, they take on the appropriate team colors. But if they transform to individual, they just become red.
If Marvelous passes out red keys to them anyway.
Well, the preview for the next episode has a bunch of whites next to each other.
How racist.
Well, it is Japan.
Bump, bump.
Well, yeah, there was a big one and something else.
And go on black, but I don't remember any of the others.
Well, that's not a white. Remember, separate your colors from your whites, otherwise they'll bleed.
And look, come and look like the Tiger Zord.
The brown Tiger Zord.
So the show Big One is from. It was all card themed, right?
Yeah.
Jack Ace, King, Queen, right?
Yes.
Right. Shouldn't he be like the big 1-0 for 10?
No.
But wouldn't that complete the Royal Flush? I mean, they already got an ace. What do they need a second one for? It's kind of a shitty hand.
See, really, he should have been Joker.
No, Joker's another guy already. It's another guy in the show.
Was he?
Yeah. Not a Ranger, but the boss.
Well, see, that's kind of bad planning, too.
It was the 70s.
I'm sure a lot of drugs were involved.
Nothing was planned.
Especially if some of those big bombers are to be believed.
I don't believe them.
Of course, that one Go Ranger Hurricane was kind of odd, too. With the hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, I still don't really get that.
Well, apparently they turned the football into an egg, and Volcano Head Dude puts it in his volcano so it boils, and then he tries to eat it, and it blows him up. What's not to get about that? Don't you think if you had a volcano for a head, you'd cook things in it too?
Well, not eggs.
Well, if you had eggs, you might. I mean, I guess it might be hard to make, like, scrambled eggs in there, but still. Because you could get, like, a campfire stove and, you know, cook on top of that. I think it might be kind of useful to have a volcano for a head, really. Oh, and then we, get another awesome Megazord fight.
Yes.
Yeah, we're losing focus on the most important thing in the episode. The debut of Gokaio.
Well, yeah,
really,
I guess
his debut?
Well, the proper debut, I guess.
First of all, they go up to the moon to combine.
You'd think that would take a little while.
I don't really like that.
You know what I don't like? It didn't Rider Kick anything this episode.
Though I do like the monster of the week activating the Megazord's final attack.
How toyetic.
Exactly.
It's like, hey kids, here's how this works.
Does it actually work like that on the toy?
Yeah, you turn the dial and all the things open. It doesn't actually shoot cannonballs, though.
Of course not.
The safety regulations.
In Japan?
Well, they have safety regulations, too, just, you know, not
in
quite
everywhere.
The same.
Their kids are smarter than American kids. They know not to eat things.
Japanese people probably...
It's probably that the parents are less likely to sue when the kids do dumb things.
Yeah, because they have the sense to know that when their kids do something stupid, it's probably the kid's fault and not the person that made the toy. But I wonder if Gokaio is going to have a finisher that uses the swords, or if it's just going to stick to the chest break feature.
It could do both.
Well, at least they're going to introduce the Magi Dragon next episode,
yeah.
So...
But yeah, and I do like that its finisher is essentially just keep shooting it.
Even when it's shooting back.
And then, well, of course, at the end, you see Magi Red.
Now, I haven't watched Magi Ranger. Was that the original actor for Magi Red, or was it a stand-in?
I'm pretty sure it's the original.
Hmm. Well, they're doing better than Decade did, then.
Do Ranger actors in Japan ever go on to do other things? Or is it like in America?
Because what all previous actors did Decade have? I know they had the original guy from Black and Black RX.
They had the actor that did Kiva the year before, but that was mostly in a cameo, and he didn't actually turn into Kiva until the very end. The Kiva they used during the series was a little kid instead.
So the only past actor that Decade got was a guy from the 80s.
That would seem to be the case.
I don't know if that says more about Decade or more about the actor who... about the guy who played Black and Black RX.
Well, they wanted to have the original actors come back, but, you know, their first stop was Kuga's World, and they could not get Kuga's actor to reprise the role. He flat out refused to do it.
They did get some people from Denno.
Well, that's just because Denno never stops.
They were probably still filming it in the set next door.
Well, the crossover into Denno's world served as a lead-in for one of the new Denno movies. So yeah, they basically were still filming it next door at that point. Denno never stops.
It's a continuous climax.
Yeah. But yeah, Gokaiger, you're still pretty awesome.
Not as good as last episode, but still pretty good.
So you didn't think that this episode was as good as last week's?
No. I just liked last week's episode better, but this was still good. I just liked last week's better.
Well, this week didn't have the Ranger War.
Didn't have that, didn't have Ryder kicking Megazords.
But it did have, well, Captain Marvelous getting embarrassed. Though sadly, it didn't have him getting denial of Curry.
Yeah, they kind of blew having that as a running joke.
Oh, see, well.
Instead of the Ranger Key, the kid should have come and stolen his curry out from under him. Okay, so...
You decide and stay and protect Earth for at least a while.
Well, there's a lot of curry to eat for it, Max.
Looks like next episode is a green-focused one.
Maybe.
Well, it does have a lot of Magi Red.
And a dragon at some point.
It's possible episode 3 will continue to set up the basic premise for the series.
And it does have Big One, so hopefully there will be a big bomber of some type.
Even if there is, it probably won't be an amusing one. I wonder if they'd try to modernize the big bomber any. There was a pretty antique-looking cannon in Go Ranger. Or Jack, I mean. So, O's?
Well, it was a pretty antique-looking cannon even in the 70s.
That's what I'm saying. O's?
O's.
Why not?
Come on.
O's. Anything goes, comes O's,
O's, O's, O's. So, Mickey, tell us about this week's O's.
I don't know. I watched it. I know that.
You're a big help, Mickey.
Yeah,
it's not
here.
That interesting yet.
Couscousier is doing a French theme, and...
Actually, I think that was Victorian, wasn't it?
No, it was French.
No, it was French.
Yeah. It was French.
They had Eiffel
the
Tower
flags.
Anyway, Date walks in and wants to have a word with AG. So they go somewhere else to eat.
Because he can't be without his damn Odin.
What is Odin, exactly?
Fried food on a stick.
So it's a corn dog,
more or less.
So we basically went to a state fair of like booth.
Where else could the gorilla candroid not get noticed?
No, it gets noticed. It's just not cared about.
You know, especially like the animal people, like the animal people in Geki Ranger. They're just kind of there.
When it dumps the gorilla candroid into the boiling oil.
Oh. Hope those things
have another
high temperature.
We have another hilarious scene with Maki and Date, where we get some hints that Date might not be long for this world.
Of course, granted, this is Dr. Maki, so that's giving the hints,
And he's all about the ends of things.
He tends to over-dramatize.
Well, we know Dante's not going to be around forever. They've already said they're going to pass this thing around, so
yeah.
I think having Dante, him die.
Dante does know about how Maki reacts with a doll now and is just f***ing with him.
Well, who wouldn't?
Seriously.
True.
We need a Dante and Dr. Maki buddy cop movie.
Hopefully we'll get some shorts like we got the Shotaro Delusion Diaries with Double.
Either that or when the main O's movie comes out next fall, the web movies will be, some of them focused on Maki and Date.
Unless Maki dies too.
They can still bring the actors back. Unless they die. Then it might be a little more of a problem. So anyway, what?
There's this bitch who's the president of a fashion company and forces her sister to make her products for her while she grabs all the attention.
That sounds like typical Japanese business structure.
I think she must have graduated from bitch school.
Oh, I miss bitch school.
So do I.
I miss being able to just say bitch school. Because it's just such a cheerful word, bitch school.
Yeah.
And of course, and let's see.
The girl is targeted
only
by...
makes a thing of Mezul yummies.
After absorbing two of Gamel's core metals.
And sister ends up walking around with her big hairy ball.
Turns out she and Date know each other.
Yeah, I actually caught sight of Date in the photos on her bulletin board before they brought that up.
I didn't notice it until they met. The picture just kind of flashed by quickly.
Yeah, I guess yeah, I was just looking in the right spot and was like, wait, was that? No, it couldn't be. All Japanese people just must look alike or something. I don't know.
You were
and they do.
But it is true, though.
Nice for Max.
That's why they need to wear the colors so you can tell them apart in the Sentai shows. Though,
moving right along.
No, actually, that's the one thing you didn't need to worry about in Ghost Sager.
No, I said we're moving along, Fort Max.
Just edit all that out.
Well, I'll edit out everything Fort Max said. All the racist stuff can stay in. That's fine. So anyway, walking around with hairy balls. And then...
It lets some Mantikes out.
Ah, Pokemon reference number one.
And they all faint pretty easily.
They're Mantikes.
Surprised Ankh wasn't going for the metals that were coming out.
Well, they're probably the split in half ones like the pseudo yummies have.
Maybe.
And he does seem to be
because Zali and Uva did have a bit of a fight, and Uva's too chicken to use the metals that aren't his.
Which doesn't make sense, because he had an octopus metal in him last week.
Well, he had it in him, but it doesn't mean he absorbed it.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between carrying... It. There's a difference between carrying and, you know, using.
Yeah, and plus this is Uva. He can't do anything interesting.
Such a shame. I really like his design.
What, the human design or the monster design?
Monster.
Oh.
Is anyone else starting to miss Gamel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Kazali's interesting, but you can only stand the three-way pissing contest for so long.
Eventually someone runs dry.
And plus, the thing
but not
is
your mom.
That half of the fun, well, a lot of the fun with Kazali was him just manipulating the hell out of Gamel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they kind of panned themselves into a bit of a corner by getting rid of Mezul and Gamel so early.
Is it possible
sure
they could come back at all? There's still 30 episodes left or so.
I figure it's possible that they could come back the same way they came back the first time. You know, just get their core metals together and throw some cells on them, and they can probably be revived.
Though I would like to see more about why Ankh can't regenerate any.
I'm sure they'll address that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me. Another thing leaning to the theory that Ankh is a yummy is that the figure art toy labels him Ankh.
Well,
Ankh?
It's...
Yeah.
UNHK.
It's not like there's no precedent for wacky English spelling.
Yeah, I just blame the translators for that.
Minelba.
Yeah. Right.
It still could be a hint.
Could be.
Maybe. That roleplay Ankh glove thing is called Ankh 2, so.
Well, it's consistent.
I think somebody just screwed up.
Speaking of Ankh, he's really concerned that the only combo they have right now is his. But that'll be fixed next episode anyway.
Yeah. Next week we get Mode Blue.
Tentacle rape form.
And speaking of which, they use the taco legs for the first time in this episode.
They're sticky.
As is Mezul, I imagine. Well, before she died, anyway.
Ew.
Sticky scroll ghoul.
Yeah.
Sticky schoolgirls.
Who smell like fish.
And have tentacles.
This really is Japan.
Oh. Especially since she's 13.
No, she's probably at least 14.
Well, she's been sealed up for 1,000 years, so she's probably a little older than that.
Only 1,000, not 10,000?
Well, you know, we never did establish whether they were just imitating other people's forms or whether they, like, grabbed real people and, you know, took them over. So technically, she could have been 13.
The actress is.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I thought this was a reality show for Japan.
It could
all
be.
But don't you know all reality shows are full of actors?
So,
it's like wrestling.
So anyway, neglected sister decides to embrace her desire to become beautiful, and Eiji falls in love with her.
Well, so does everyone else in the city except for Date.
Yeah.
Because Date already was in love with her, I bet.
Or it's...
That sounds cliched enough to work.
Or he just... Date.
That also sounds cliched enough to work.
Because, well, okay, look at her. She's not edible, is she?
Well, that's debatable.
She's not made of metals.
Not yet, anyway.
But she's filling up with them fast.
Yeah,
I'm not the best judge of this.
She's carrying around is.
What, Mickey?
Perhaps I'm not the best judge of this, but... She doesn't seem to be more beautiful than her sister. Why is everyone going crazy over her?
She
still looks kind of...
It's super effective.
She's kind of mannish looking still, even when she's made up.
It's the yummy.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
It's giving off, you know, whatever.
Magic sex waves?
Yes, that's it exactly.
Okay.
Jeez,
isn't that the name of an anime?
I think it's a band name.
Could be a song name.
Done by Psychic Lover?
Hell yes.
Well, what the heck? They did an opening theme song for Witchblade, so they can do anything like that.
The TV show?
Well, the anime version.
Oh.
So yeah, that was pretty much O's.
And it was good, even if it's not outstanding this week.
Maybe
nothing really happened
better.
In it, but it was entertaining.
There's potential for stuff to happen next
right
time.
After Gokhyger.
Birth's what? Drill broke.
Well, that's what he gets for trying to drill into Kazali.
Well, for trying to drill into agreed period.
Well, no, it worked last week.
Well, that's because he used it with Crane.
Well, and plus, wasn't it that Uva?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Kazali's a lot stronger. That's why Uva wouldn't fight him.
Kazali's gonna burn out.
We can only hope. I'm actually kind of getting a little sick of him.
This episode didn't have Kogami in it.
Aww.
It did feel like it was missing something.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll have a cake ready next time.
And fancy new wardrobe.
A cake for the birth of the new combo?
Yes.
I will be disappointed if he does not end up looking like the Seventh Doctor at some point in this series.
Well, he still won't have the hair, though.
So far, him with the bow has been the high point.
Yes. Yes, it has. But if we give it some time, maybe he can top that.
He needs a cape.
And a pimp hat.
And a fur coat.
Yeah. And some cake. Some
fancy glasses.
So you want to be Elton John?
Basically, yes.
Well, really, you can't get any more fancy of a wardrobe than that, can you? Perhaps fancy is not the right word. Maybe more like fabulous.
No, the word is marvelous.
No. That's a different kind of wardrobe. So yeah, that's about it, isn't it?
For now.
Yeah. Next week we get a combo.
And another shit ton of merchandising.
Next week we get the combo that's wearing girders.
Snakes? I thought it was fish themed.
Well, eels are like snakes.
AJ thought so.
Yeah, but AJ thinks you can ride a sideways vending machine and it'll turn into a bike.
Well, when those vending machines usually do turn into bikes.
They're actually making a little chibi keychain of that.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yes, I think I need to get it.
I wonder how hard that would be to acquire.
It's a Tamashii web exclusive. 60,000 yen.
So, anyway, I think that's all for right now. Probably take a break.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good.
Paladin, you sent us a review this week, didn't you?
I did manage to put something together.
Yeah. So, we'll go to that and be back in a few minutes.
Welcome once more to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee.
Mechatory sequence has been initiated.
Kaizen kattei!
Sing! 2011 looks to be a spectacular year for tokusatsu. Three of the legendary action franchises are celebrating anniversaries this year. Ultraman and Kamen Rider are now officially over the hill at 40 years old, while Super Sentai launches its 35th straight season. To celebrate this monumental milestone, Toei has devised a brilliant action series to celebrate its most famous costumed heroes. The result is Kazuko Sentai Gokaiger, the story of space pirates raiding treasures while encountering a threat that has already defeated the previous 34 Sentai teams. And as if that premise wasn't cool enough, the introductory scene for this year's Megazord involved a beautifully animated outer space battle where one sword-wielding robot outmaneuvered hundreds of alien spacecraft. Naturally, I had to have one. This is the Zord fleet belonging to the Gokaigers. Pink's Gokai Marine, Blue's Gokai Jet, Green's Gokai Racer, Yellow's Gokai Trailer, and the Marvelous Red's Gokai Galleon leading the pack. In the show, the Galleon is the team's main form of transportation and serves as a carrier zord of sorts for the other four, but the deluxe scale is sadly unable to replicate this feature. The individual Gokai machines are passable, I guess. Solo zords are rarely much more than colorful bricks anyway, and while I am happy to report that this line has broken away from gimmicks such as headers or hidden discs, the lack of intricate play value in these zords is somewhat disappointing. By far the weakest member of this group is Gokai Jet, which doesn't even try to hide the giant fist sticking out of its fuselage. After a very simple combination sequence, we have this year's Megazord, Gokaio. The new Megazord form is very impressive, and those who have complained of Zords being downsized in recent years will be happy to notice that Gokaio is much larger than most of his predecessors. This combo incorporates several piratey gimmicks into the design. Of particular note is the head, which is ordinarily covered by a mechanized tri-corner hat, but if the hat is removed, the Megazord resembles an ordinary swabby in a do-rag. The forethought put into this little detail alone really makes me appreciate the Gokaiger's design team. In addition to his dual cutlass blades, which can actually be stored on special hip holsters when not in use, as another testament to the design team's forethought, Gokaio's main weapon is an attack cannon that is activated by turning a crank on the back. Each turn pops open one of the Gokai machines, similar to the opening of a treasure chest, and this works almost perfectly, but Green has to spoil it for everyone. The race car wheel on his door is just too heavy to allow perfect opening, and more often than not just ends up closing itself again. But I can live with this minor flaw. Future additions to the Gokaiger line appear to involve new versions of older mecha that can combine with Gokaio. But in keeping with the universal joint systems used by most Super Sentai Megazords, Gokaio can already combine with some previous mecha. The arm connectors are able to hold both Shinkenger and Gosager mecha, though the movement is limited due to the gearing mechanism of Gokaio's cannon system. I had already been won over by Gokaido's spectacular first episode, and Gokaio certainly cemented my fondness of this series. Featuring a great design coupled with decent play value and the potential for future combinations, Gokaio is a proud addition to the shelf. Looks like it's going to be a great year, and we hope you enjoy it with us here at Superhero Time. Now where's the rum?
We paid your mom a nickel to listen to Superhero Time. She died.
The site that brought you the best in reviews and photography for the last 5 years now brings you video. FigureReviews.com now features our video-enhanced podcast and video reviews, starting with our special 200th review, plus our normal high-quality text and photo coverage. Toy reviews, photography, and now video. FigureReviews.com.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
Superhero Time. This is Twitter Theater.
For Twitter Theater this week, I found a bit of an oddity for us. No, not Fort Max. Something to watch, I mean. In Malaysia and the Philippines, it's actually not unusual for, like, Masked Rider series to get dubbed into English for local broadcast. But these are actually...
Why?
What?
Well, I mean, is English the their main spoken language in Malaysia and the Philippines?
There is a large English-speaking portion, yeah. But you didn't know that, did you?
Well, I mean, I don't half the world speaks English anyway, because we're too arrogant to learn anybody else's language, so they have to learn ours. I just assume that if you're going to be airing something in the Philippines, that you'd dub it into maybe...
Filipino?
Yes, thank you.
Well, I'm sure there is probably that too, but, you know, just like in Canada, you get stuff that's in French and in English. Depending where in Canada you are.
If you're in Quebec, you get it in French, and if you're lucky, you get it in English.
Just like your mom.
Yeah. So anyway, the thing about these Philippine and Malaysian dubs is that outside of the old Transformers series that are similarly dubbed into English, it's really hard to get these toku dubs for download or even, you know, streaming. They just don't get out anymore. But actually, I found the first two episodes of the Kabuto dub in where somebody had taken the audio from the broadcast and mixed it with a DVD video raw. So it's actually in decent quality, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Pretty good idea there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, these first two episodes are all there is.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a definite sad trombone moment.
Darn
right
it.
There.
Helicopters are being really loud tonight.
Yeah. Maybe the noise reduction system will get rid of it when I edit the show. But I probably not. Well, they never seem to get rid of Fort Max, so probably won't do anything for the helicopters. So anyway,
it's noise reduction, not annoy reduction.
So Kabuto is about these worm guys
who fell onto Earth in an asteroid,
which is the only way for aliens to travel,
apparently.
Well, here's the thing humans did. Well, the first thing the humans did wrong. Not give the worms coffee.
I don't get it.
Men in Black?
Oh. Well, I only watched that like twice, so. But yeah, asteroid falls on Earth and alien worm things crawl out of it.
And the worms can take on other people's identities.
And then kill them for them. I wonder if do you think they steal credit card information too?
I'm assuming they copy whatever's in your pockets also.
Except for that first worm that shows up naked. Which never ever happens again.
That was just his thing.
I guess. And he wasn't afraid to show it to everybody.
Well, if you got it, flaunt it.
So yeah, early in the first episode, you get to see how effective these Zek troopers are against worms.
And they're as about effective as stormtroopers.
It's not
with
very
even
effective.
More ridiculous helmets.
This is why you don't raise an army of putties.
Well, at least these guys got guns. Anyway, as I was saying, at least they give the Zek troopers guns.
But it doesn't do them any good.
And little flip-out swords. That was kind of cute.
So anyway, Zekt has some guy named Kagami who they decide to send to look at how the battle's going, and he's pretty much pulled out when things turn south.
He's the intern.
He has to go make cakes.
And ride a bicycle. He doesn't get to ride in the van with the cool kids.
Well, serves him right.
He also really wants to be the first masked rider.
He'll have to get in line.
Yeah.
Right behind Goto.
That.
What?
He'll get in line right behind Goto.
What'd you say, Mickey?
He's a little late to be the first masked rider.
Well, the first masked rider in this continuity, anyway. But no.
And then there's this other guy with tofu.
Tendo.
And that's when the dubs started going south.
Actually, the dub started going south in the first 10 seconds when Hiyori's narration began.
I found it at least competent or passable.
I thought it was a decent dub. I mean, not great, but I mean...
Same here.
Just some of the voice.
It was a good dub. Like, even the headmaster's dub is accurate. It's just crazy at times.
Some of the choices in voice casting just seemed a little off to me.
It needed to... Yeah. I'm just sad that the dubbing for the Masked Rider forms didn't involve hand being placed over mouth while dubbing.
I guess they've moved a little bit past such things.
Yeah, sadly.
So what's Tendo supposed to sound like? Because apparently nobody liked his dub voice.
His dub voice is very different from the original actor's voice. And, you know,
the dub voice sounds kind of like he's trying to be movie Batman.
Which movie Batman?
Adam West?
No.
Oh.
Val Kilmer.
George Clooney?
Kevin Conroy.
Michael Keaton?
Christian Bale?
Yeah, that one.
It's always the last one you name. But no, if they wanted to, they could have even got the original Tendo to do this dub work because the actor is fluent in English.
He probably wouldn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, though.
I don't know. The rest of the dub seemed
Mom?
Okay.
Well, not entirely.
No?
Yeah, I had some problems with Tendo's sister.
Juka.
Oh yeah, it just got worse with her.
That's kind of like a dub trope, I guess. The teenage female character voiced by someone with only the vaguest idea how to sound teenaged or female.
And also, she was... One thing that she apparently has is where you have some similarities with the headmaster dub, in which constantly pronouncing idea as idea.
Also, wait. Apparently Tendo is loaded, but has no job.
Yeah, they never really explain how he provides for himself. It's just kind of one of those things. Tendo is...
Well,
Tendo's...
that's not a problem with the dub, is it?
No.
It's just a problem with the story in general.
Yeah. We're talking about the story also, but the dub just makes it more fun.
Not a bad problem, really, but it is noticeable.
Well, Tendo is just Tendo, and it's kind of understood that things just work for him. Like, in his introduction scene, when he manages to take out the pickpocket without breaking his tofu. Or barely moving, for that matter.
Aside from kicking the wallet.
Right. With his fancy wooden sandals.
Or whatever the hell those are actually called.
Beats me.
Shoes.
Sandals.
Clogs.
Aren't clogs...
He's Dutch.
...complete shoes, Clogs? Though? Cogs?
Pogs?
Your mom?
Oh, that's...
Your grandmom?
Now, you leave grandmas out of here. They're sweet old ladies.
One thing I will give the dub is that it makes... the way Tendo introduces himself sound a little more reasonable than the subtitled version. Of course, that could just be TV Nihon's fault. In fact, I'd almost bet on that.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
It's always TV Nihon's fault.
I thought it was Decade's fault.
I thought it was Bandai's fault.
There's a lot of blame to go around. I don't think
just
we'll
like
run
your
out.
Mom.
Right. We won't run out anytime soon, just like your mom. Okay, so who has thoughts on the episodes?
I thought it was pretty good for the most part.
It's okay.
Good intro
but
to the series.
A little serious for my taste.
Well, the whole series is a little bit serious like that. But it's also very popular, and not really undeservedly so, I don't think.
Of course, it mostly got a lot of points in my mind because I was still comparing it to Kuga.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Which supposedly is very popular because no one's actually really seen it.
Could be. No, when you actually watch all of Kuga, it actually is pretty good. We'll watch another random episode at some point in the future so you can see.
Let's randomly pick episode 1.
Well,
that's not random then, is it?
No. We'll randomly pick, like, episode 42. But no...
So...
Comparing Kabuto to Kuga, at least in the one sense, Kabuto has a budget.
And they looked like they used it pretty well.
Yeah.
So, no Etch-a-Sketches?
None that I recall, no. And there's several more writers throughout the series.
Including the Bee.
Yes, including the Bee. The Bee is the second writer.
So the other guy, the not Goto of this series, he becomes a writer too?
Yes. He becomes two writers.
At the same time?
No.
Oh.
But that'd be a good
trick. That gimmick wouldn't come for a few more years.
Well, no, it wouldn't because, you know, that's two guys being one writer, not one guy being two writers. Kind of an alternative interpretation of the double concept.
I don't really like... his armored form very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The masked forms for the first two are not that great looking. But for Drake and Sasord, they get more interesting looking. Yeah. And Gatax is actually really nice.
It's nice to see Kabuto evolve into Kabutops, though.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one.
Or Kabuterimon.
And later, when he gets the Hyperdector, he becomes Mega Kabuterimon.
All of which are better than Kabutak.
Nothing better than Kabutak.
Kabu.
Yeah. Maybe if Kagami had gone with the Helix Fossil, it would have come to him.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of more fossil-related jokes, but I can't remember what they were.
For the early part of the series, they used
I think they're mostly Hey Mickey.
early in the series, they use the mask forms more often, but as you progress throughout, they're basically transforming and immediately doing cast-off into Rider form.
Well, so they kind of have to.
Well, yeah, I mean, it saves time.
And it's a better costume.
It is, it is.
Definitely.
Kabuto and... What?
There's a reissue of Figure Arts Kabuto scheduled for May, and I might pick that up.
Yeah, just don't get any of the first run ones. We got a bent leg problem. Kind of like your mom.
No, she's got something else bent.
But yeah, for Kabuto and the Bee especially, the masked forms really look like they're tacked onto an existing costume design. The later ones manage to balance it a little bit better.
It just
what?
Looks bulky and like you can't move in it.
Well, the Rider forms are supposed to mirror the way the worms work. You know, the first the way the worms first appear is their larval form, where they're slow and not very specialized. The masked riders have the masked form, which is more heavily armored, and they can't move as fast with it. And then they can cast off into rider form, where they can then clock up and match the molted worm's speed.
Is there a limit to how many times they can clock up?
There probably is, but it's based on plot necessity, not actual... Nothing's actually declared about that. Likewise, the time limit for clock up is unspecified.
I just assumed it was like 10 seconds.
No, that's Fies.
V.
No, Fies, not five. Fies had an Excel mode where he could move at super speed for 10 seconds.
But Excel had a trial mode where he had to be under 10 seconds.
Right. Confused yet?
Always.
You get used to it.
Or you hurt yourself in your confusion.
Good thing I have a full heal then.
Nah, we're just going a little too far.
Yeah.
But no, I really have enjoyed watching Kabuto. We'll probably pick up another episode again at a later point.
Can we do the one with the makeup artist fight?
Yes, we probably would. Or some other episode involving Drake heavily.
Excellent.
I figured that would be a tribute to Hey Mickey.
Hmm?
Nothing. Unfortunately, any future episodes of Kabuto will have to be subtitled instead of dubbed.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should watch the video Paladin just posted. I'm watching it now.
Me too.
I'm starting it. Wait, this is from Kabuto?
Yes.
But this doesn't seem serious.
Just wait. Just wait.
Dragon Ball Z fists.
It's like a Kamen Rider version of RuPaul's Drag Race.
That was Drake in the yellow shirt.
The professional makeup artist.
Yes. He walks around seemingly homeless with a 9-year-old girl.
And a makeup case.
Yeah.
That's Japan, all right.
There's no
not really, there's not enough
Japan.
What, Mickey?
There's no homeless people in Japan.
Well, he's homeless by choice. See, that's
like
okay.
Like Eiji?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not homeless because there's like any economic problems or anything. He just chooses to live that way.
Oh, okay.
He's free thinking, that's all. And he does makeup. Because he's very free thinking. So yeah, that's Kabuto.
Well, before we finish, I'll pose the same question I did last week, and that's, what's the difference between regular Kabuto and Decade Kabuto?
Well, in Decade Kabuto, Tendo's grandmother actually appears.
Instead of him just repeating her sayings?
That's right.
Okay. I haven't finished the series yet, but in Decade Kabuto, the little sister is also a worm.
Yeah. That's not the case here.
Was wondering if they were going to pull that off or not. I'm still running through the series.
No, Juka's not a worm in regular Kabuto. And in,
just irritating.
In Decade Kabuto, Kabuto is actually stuck permanently in clock-up mode. So he can't actually come back or untransform or anything. So that kind of blows.
How does he eat?
I don't know. They don't really talk about that.
Well,
some
riders
don't talk about his money.
Over their helmets.
What?
Some riders can dehench in their heads, so maybe he can do that and he just steals food.
Well, it's not like we could catch him, right? But then the question becomes, how does he go to the bathroom?
Through his penis.
Oh. But wouldn't the suit start to get a little sloshy?
But it'd be warm, at least.
Probably smells a little bit in there now, too.
But it killed his athlete's foot.
Well, I guess if he does that enough, the suit will get so heavy that he can't clock up anymore.
Maybe it'll rust.
Yeah, for the most part, the original Rider series and the Decade version of the Rider series are pretty well removed from each other. Which is
I've heard that's the case with almost everything.
It's a shame, too, because some of the Decade scenarios for the Rider worlds are actually kind of interesting.
I did enjoy Blades.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking of, actually.
Corporate Riders, I'd watch a series like that.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much that. So, anything else for this week?
What's up next week?
Well, next week, I'm glad you mentioned that, it just happens to be the start of our Sentai crossover month.
Excellent.
Well, Sentai and Power Rangers. We're starting with Sentai.
What are we starting with?
We aren't going to be able to squeeze Jack vs. Go Ranger in there, are we?
No.
No, we're doing the good stuff.
You should have known the answer to that before you even asked for it, Max.
Mm.
No, next week we are going to start crossover month with Bokanger vs. Super Sentai. Which
is too
bad. It's too bad we didn't do that this week, because then we would have had some context.
Well, yeah,
for
we would have had the we would have had some context for Red Red.
Isn't that what I just said, Fort
yeah.
Max? Shh. So yeah, that'll be fun.
Very.
Yeah. And then let's see, what are we doing the week after that? I should pull that up.
It says here the next week is Reinforcements from the Future.
Another good choice. Glad I thought of it.
And then it goes downhill.
Well, not everything can be Reinforcements from the Future. In fact,
I mean,
almost,
really, really downhill after that.
Almost nothing can be
repeatedly.
Reinforcements from the Future.
Well,
it goes
aside from the law. Well, aside from to the power of 10.
It's to the 10th power.
To the 10th power, whatever.
Way to go. Well, the last installment of Crossover Month is pretty good, though. Or at least, you know.
Yeah,
not...
but the two leading up to that are not going to be good.
Well, you have to have a little pain before you can have fun.
The Go Sega rule of life?
That's a lot
it
of
It only
pain.
Hurts for a little bit.
Then you get used to it.
Just lie back and think of England.
Congratulations, Peldon. That's your new quote for the intro.
Yeah, Shellshock's the only one that's really bad.
No, I think Friend in Need might be worse.
Friend in Need has an awesome Zord battle.
It's three episodes of Dex. Do you really think a Zord battle compensates for that shit? The f*** is wrong with you?
He's here.
Dex isn't as bad in the Power Rangers episodes. as he is in the main series.
Well, it's like the first season of Star Trek Voyager, where you just don't really have any context for it to be as bad as it is.
And then you get the salamanders.
Yeah, then you get the salamanders. But, you know, in terms of Mask Rider, I guess Ferbus would be their salamanders.
Except he's there every episode.
Well, I'm sure if they could have found a way to pull it off, they would have kept one of the salamanders around as a permanent character, too.
Who was the worst character in Voyager?
Everyone?
I think it's a toss-up between Janeway and Seven of Nine.
I'm leaning towards Chakotay because he was so bland.
Pretty much.
But Chakotay had a tattoo. Doesn't that mean he's automatically cool?
No. Especially not if he was a teenage alien fighter from Beverly Hills.
With tattoos.
Well, that's how we got started on that barricade.
You expect me to pay attention?
No. That's a very good point. I mean, I don't really have pay attention, so I can't really expect anybody else to.
So should we move on to episode talk now?
But you know who was the best in Voyager?
Robert Picardo?
Yes. But then he pretty much makes anything good.
I don't think I get like a fan edit of Voyager that just cut everything down to scenes that he was in.
I always said that if they did a new American Doctor Who series, Robert Picardo should be the Doctor.
Yes.
Maybe he could, like, wear a toupee for that, though. I'm not sure. Would you be okay with a bald doctor?
Yes, I would.
As long as he wears a fez or a Stetson.
Maybe we'll just go with the toupee instead. Well, I think that's about it for us this week.
Hooray. Thank
God.
Well, I'd like to thank Barricade for joining us this week. I doubt he'll make this mistake ever again.
I actually enjoyed this, surprisingly, and if you ever want to have me on again, I'm free most nights you guys record.
Masochist.
We're kind of like radiation poisoning. You don't notice that at first, but after a while, it just makes you sick.
Like I said, I'm a punishment for glutton. I watched Shin earlier.
You're a punishment for glutton?
Well, that was Fort Luton.
That was Fort Mackin of you, Barricade.
See, the poisoning is continuous.
Yes. I'm afraid the brain damage has already set in. But we knew that when he said that he'd be happy to come back any other time.
But did it set in, or was it already there?
Well, he did ask to come on the show, so, I mean, that's debatable.
Exactly.
And, you know, unlike Esser, he actually showed up.
I have a sense of responsibility.
Well, that's
and
good.
I didn't want to have my kneecaps broken.
That's true. I didn't happen to mention that, didn't I? It was very effective, too.
Super effective?
Yes. Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Stop threatening them.
It's not a threat. It's a promise.
To who?
Your mom?
Ho. That's who.
There you go.
This has been Superhero Time. With your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Here it is.
What?
D4 Master Petit Kamen Rider O box.
And how much is it?
3,440 yen for an entire box.
How many pieces in the box?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad if you could actually just walk into a store and buy one.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of them look pretty cool, too. I mean, I wouldn't mind having a whole mess of them.
I want the Tatoba on the Vendor, the Eiji, and maybe Birth and Gaikiriba.
Hey, they left out Segozo.
Well, the go-to holding the cake.
That'll be Series 2.
Dr. Maki and his doll should be in there also.
Again, series two.
And the secretary. And Kogami, damn it.
See, there's a whole second wave right there.
Yeah.
I thought Goto looked so depressed holding that cake.
Well, he always did.
What do you mean, did?
He's not holding cakes anymore.
Right. Well, he was this episode, but, you know. Generally, he's not.
But he does always look kind of like that.
Yeah, I kind of want the angry AG with the little onk arm. You know, just use the onk arm as the keychain.
The onks don't look angry enough.
Yeah, actually, that one with the popsicle just looks constipated.
And the other one's got an angry vein on his forehead, but he looks like he's kind of smiling.
Well, yeah, that's the one without the ice cream.
And I can't really tell what Birth is doing there.
He's just pointing the Birth gun.
Oh, well, if you could actually tell, that would be nice.
I can tell.
Well, nobody asked you. But yeah, if it wasn't for the fact that there's probably like 15 or 2,000 yen worth of shipping on this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be that bad of a price.
Oh, well.
You mean O's well.
O's well that ends well.